This is iFaith Video Message 62. We've been going through the works of John, the Gospel, the letters, and now, and in the next talk, we'll be looking at the Apocalypse, also called the Book of Revelation. The title of today's message is Laodicea and the Lukewarm. If you're new to the Bible, Laodicea is a city in the ancient world where there was a church to which Jesus Christ sent a letter. We read in the Book of Revelation, Chapter 3, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot." These words will be familiar to many Christians. It's a letter, one of seven, that the Lord directs to a group of churches in what is today modern Turkey. This would be Western Turkey or Asia Minor or Anatolia. And that's near the end of the first century. He sends the message to the angel, also messenger. It's not totally clear which word it is, because angelos is messenger or angel in Greek, just as in the Old Testament, malach is messenger or angel. It doesn't really matter through whom the message is sent. The important thing is the content and the authority of the one who is proclaiming that message. He says he's the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. If you go to Colossians 1:15, you'll see that phrase, the beginning of God's creation, and you realize that is definitely talking about Jesus Christ. Laodicea is, again, one of seven cities to whom Jesus addressed a message, a very important message in the late first century. The other six cities, like Laodicea, have all been excavated. Laodicea is still ongoing. The first time I was there, maybe 20 years ago, they were just starting. There were some rocks sticking up out of the ground. They were digging a trench. The archaeologists and the universities were taking interest. And now 20 years later, it's still not all excavated, but it's an amazing place to visit if you want to imagine the sophistication and even the luxury of this ancient town. Jesus says, "I know your works." Or NIV says, "I know your deeds." Yes, he knows our heart. He knows what we intend. But Jesus also said that our actions display what's in the heart, just as what comes from the mouth, our words reflect the heart. So Jesus sees right through us, and he says, "You're neither cold nor hot." Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, "I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing," not realizing you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. These are some very hard-hitting words. He says that you're not hot. Zestos is the word in the original, like the word zest. You're not sukros, cold, which is actually also good. But you are kleros, lukewarm, kleros. It's almost like I'm trying to get something gross out of my throat. You're not zestos, you're not psychros, you're just kleros. Well, for this to make sense, we're going to have to unlearn, many of us, what we've heard about Laodicea, but also learn just a little bit. Now, we normally think of Laodicea, and we think that hot is best, like this match I've just lit. Okay, hot is the best, and then cold is somehow better than lukewarm. But that's actually not what he's saying in the passage. In this passage, hot and cold are both good. It's lukewarm that's bad. So we're not on a continuum going from cold, low commitment, like the prediction in Matthew 24, the love of growth, most will go cold, all the way through more committed, warmer, 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 hot, hot, hot. And now, okay, you're maintaining your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, Romans 12:11. That's good, but that's not what Jesus, through the angel, through John, is showing us. Here, it's just a simple illustration. Don't overthink it. Hot is good. Why would I say that? You can make tea with it, the way I start most mornings. Coffee. You can soak in a hot bath. You can clean your clothes. Cold is good. It's invigorating. Sometimes a cold drink is just the right thing. Other times it's a hot drink. But no one says, "Okay, I just want lukewarm." I mean, that's not the normal way we go about it. Now, as I said, we need to know a little bit of background concerning Laodicea. All I've told you so far is that one of seven cities receiving a letter, in the western part of Turkey. Laodicea was not actually built near a great water supply. It's a trade city. It was a banking city. It was a wealthy city. And it was more important for its founders that it had good access to money-making opportunities. And so the water supply is not close. We'll come back to that in just a moment. What they did very well is they produced textiles. There is a wool that's black and glossy and beautiful. You know, normally sheep, most sheep I see, and goats too, I mean, they tend to be white. But this, and then you would have to dye it. Of course, if it's already black, you wouldn't need to dye it, but it's very glossy. And that was in high demand. Second area is medicine. Think medical school, pharmaceuticals. Laodicea produced things for health. Most notably, eye salve. Something you would, if your eye, you had an eye sore or eye problem, you would rub it in the eye, the salve, and then your eye would be cured. And people came from all over the Roman world in search of remedies for their eye problems. And third, it's money. Because Laodicea was a place where money was lent, it was exchanged. They were so wealthy that while the rest of the region just devastated in an earthquake, this is in the first century, other cities said, please help us. So they appealed to Rome, so to speak, the federal government, and Rome provides relief. Laodicea says, nah, it's okay. We got it. We have our pride. We don't want a handout. We'll take care of ourselves. And they did. They were so wealthy. See, they put confidence in their wealth. That was a big part of their identity. All right? Now, back to the water as promised. In the general area, Laodicea is actually closer. I mentioned this, the other six churches, and that's it's a slightly larger area, but very close to Laodicea in this Lycus Valley. You have Colossae, which had lovely cold water. And we had Hierapolis, which has hot water. In fact, it has geothermal springs. I've bathed in them. Hierapolis is an amazing place. These are both biblical cities mentioned in the New Testament. But by the time water would come from Colossae to Laodicea, it wouldn't be cold anymore. It's warmed up. By the time the hot water came from Hierapolis to Laodicea, it had cooled down. It's lukewarm. So what we're going to see is that, and this is very common in the Bible, there are points of reference for the audience. In this case, it'll be the salve for the eyes, it'll be the garments, and it'll be the water. All right. Let's read the rest of that passage just again. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. They're not actually spat out yet. They are about to. They're in danger. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. Not even federal assistance for rebuilding after a devastating earthquake. And not realizing you're wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked. So that's Laodicea. Wow. They put their confidence in wealth. It was worldly, not godly. Look what Jesus next says. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. So the three things Laodicea is most known for, today it's archaeology, but that's, you know. But back then, those three things, Jesus has something to say about. He wants them to get gold, real gold. So often, those who are materially wealthy are spiritually poor. And often, not always, but we find people who are materially poor who are spiritually rich. It's not an exact correlation, but it is a correlation. He says, buy gold so that you may be rich, white garments to clothe yourself, and salve for your eyes. They need to repent because they're not seeing things clearly. What they're doing is shameful, and they're worshiping the god of money, in essence. Jesus is calling them to repent of materialism. Oh, good, yes. Did the Laodiceans repent? Let's come back to that in a moment, too. But before we do, let's train this on ourselves, because the message is not intended only for them. It's a timeless message. And particularly if you live in a wealthier part of your country, or if you're privileged to live in a wealthy country, a place like Canada, or the United States, or Norway. There are many wealthy countries, and there are many countries that are poor, but they have wealthy sections. So not many people get off the hook here. The challenge is for us. What is that challenge? To repent of materialism. What do we dream about? What makes us most excited? Is it possessions? Is it buying things? Or is it people? What's more important to us, people or things or projects or honors, achievements? Are we helping the poor? We have a study series in the book Until the Nets Are Full, formerly called Shining Like Stars, and one of the basic studies is serving the poor. It's so basic, and yet for the first five or six editions of the book since the 1980s, there was nothing in there about serving the poor, but it's fundamental. Do we help the poor? Do we give money to the poor? Do we give things to the poor? Do we spend time with the poor? What's my lifestyle like? If I've got a very comfortable lifestyle, does that require me to work long hours? Because if I'm working long hours instead of more modest hours, and modesty is not just about clothing, it's about lifestyle, then I'm not able to have time for people, not just for family and neighborhood and church, but the lost, the poor. But if we're working long hours simply to support a wealthy lifestyle, is Jesus pleased with that? Are we aware of the materialism of all major political parties? And this is in really the entire world. I don't think I know a single one that's not materialistic. They agree, you know, we want to prosper. And it's not about God. It's about things and lifestyle, gross domestic product. And people work hard politically to make sure that their gains are not lost and that they can have a good lifestyle. Is my lifestyle, by the way, identical to that of my non-Christian neighbors? I've got neighbors on this side, and across from us. Is my lifestyle the same as theirs, or is it Christian? Jesus continues, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So Jesus has given some very hard challenges to the Laodiceans, and I think to me and to most of you listening to this, we need to pay attention. Lukewarmness is not lack of energy, like I'm not singing out loud, or I don't say amen. That's got nothing to do with it. It has to do with our lifestyle. Is it orientated towards things of the Spirit or towards the things of the world? And Jesus says, don't interpret my challenge as a lack of love. When I love people, I speak the truth to them, I reprove them, I discipline them, you know, just as a parent would a child. It doesn't mean I don't love you. So we need to open our hearts to this challenge. Of course, the door, when he says, if anyone opens the door, then I'll come in, he's not talking about how to be saved. Unfortunately, the evangelical world is pretty confused on that point. He's talking about resuming fellowship. These people have nearly pushed Jesus out of their lives, and he wants to come back in and resume fellowship. And what a beautiful passage showing us the heart of God. Finally, the one who conquers, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All these little letters in Revelation have some kind of a challenge, and then there's a reward, there's a result, something that you hope for. And here he talks about reigning with him. And there are actually many passages in the New Testament that talk about us reigning with Christ. If you're not familiar with that theme, check it out in your next Bible study. That could be a great thing. This is an important message. The letter to Laodicea ends this series of seven letters. Of course, Revelation has more than just letters. It has prophecy and it has apocalypse. But for today, we focused simply on those letters. How about you and me? Are we lukewarm? Jesus says, in this analogy, hot and cold water is great. Lukewarm, no. For lukewarm, is it materialism? Probably, almost certainly. Have we bought into the values of this world? If we have, we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.